Chris Carter, portfolio manager for the Buffalo Midcap Fund, is here. And we're talking midcap stocks today in the Money Life Market Call. Welcome to the Market Call, the part of the show where we talk with experienced money managers about how they do their job. And today, well, we get to do two things. One, we get to explore an area of the market that we don't really explore necessarily a whole lot, that being mid-cap stocks. We also get to introduce you to a manager who's never been on the show before. Chris Carter runs the Buffalo Midcap Fund. It's BUFMX, if you want to look it up by ticker symbol. And if you want to learn more, BuffaloFunds.com. As long as you know the name of the firm, follow them on Twitter, too. They're at Buffalo Funds. Chris Carter, good to have you on Money Life.
Thanks for having me, Chuck.
So we always start with methodology, and it's particularly important when we have a new guest on the show. So we need to know, like, the style that you use, and then, you know, the mid-cap space itself in terms of not only how you define it, but what you look for that makes mid-caps particularly appealing.
When I think of investment process, I always think of Warren Buffett's quote of, you only find out who is swimming naked when the tide goes out. And I think it's an important pact that you make with your investors that they understand your process and what you do. And it's also important for me as a portfolio manager, because managing a universe of thousands of stocks, I need to pare that down to a more manageable list of companies and make my process repeatable. And essentially, our mid-cap universe is defined in $2 billion to $35 billion in range. And what we do, I would call, is quality growth at a reasonable price. We emphasize long-term opportunities, and we have below-average turnover as a result, roughly 30% per year. Can give or take be a little bit higher or much, much lower. But let me take each of those components and kind of spell it out for your audience. First, the quality component. What we're looking for is a sustainable competitive advantage, and that can be defined through kind of traditional competitive analysis, the Porter Five Forces. Also, there are fundamental characteristics that define the competitive advantage: high gross margin, high profit margin. And so those are characteristics that we really look for in companies. The growth component, we're not looking for any kind of growth. Really, what we favor is secular growth. And as a company, we have a number of secular trends that we define and review on a regular basis. And those secular trends, I think of as kind of railroad tracks that keep us on track for sustainable growth through all economic environments. It's a tailwind, if you were. And a perfect example of this, of a durable trend, has been e-commerce. You know, when Amazon came public in the late 90s, it was just a bookstore, and it wasn't even the biggest bookstore. But e-commerce was a new delivery mechanism for shopping. And now, look, we have 20% penetration in a variety of categories and still much more room to grow. So that's a classic example of a secular growth trend that we would want to align with, that can provide companies that we can own for 5-10 years. And then the final component is a reasonable price. We're not really looking for growth at any price or momentum growth. We really want to manage our risk and enter into securities and own them while they have superior risk reward. And so as we're doing the fundamental analysis on a company, we're assessing an upside and downside scenarios for each investment. And so we want to stack the odds in our favor. This gives us a little more wriggle room, because you're not always going to be right in your investment thesis. But if my portfolio is the way that I assess it, has 1.5 or 2 to 1 upside potential to downside, it kind of makes up for the mistakes. And another important component is the sell discipline. And essentially, that's just an inversion of the process that I just described.
Answer a question in there, because of course, mid-cap, well, one of the things that can happen to a mid-cap stock, if it does everything you want it to do, it becomes a large cap, right?
Absolutely.
So how much do you go rigid line? Like, is there a spot where you say, if it crosses to large cap, I have to sell in a certain time period? I mean, you're running a mid-cap fund. You have a mandate to be there, not with everything, but with the vast majority of your money. So at what point, when you have a running winner, which is normally somebody's like, hey, I hope I get my thesis and then I can get out. Is it a hard and fast line? How do you decide, hey, this has gotten large cap, he's no longer right for us?
Sure. On the portfolio level, I think that we only own large cap at a 10% of the portfolio or less. It's typically much less than that. And it's not hard and fast because I really don't want to trim a winner. We may also have a large taxable gain. Like, I can name a larger cap company, Illumina, that's been owned by the fund for 11 years, and it's like a 20 bagger. I don't necessarily want to burden my investors with a taxable gain, and it still meets all the criteria that I just laid out. And so definitely manage that to be less than 10% of the portfolio. We don't generally add to a large cap name once it's crossed that threshold. But it's not a hard and fast rule of sell right away.
So now that we've put it together, before we even get to what you particularly like right now, what's your general take on the mid-cap space? Because, you know, for the longest time, we've seen small caps kind of lag, although in the recent rally, it's been very much driven by small caps. So what's your outlook on mid-caps, and how does it differ, do you think, from the large and the small?
I think it's a really sweet spot of the market. I think that from a market perspective, one of the headwinds for large cap is going to be the trade wars that we've seen with the U.S. and China, and even the U.S. and EU. Large caps tend to have a much higher penetration in global markets. Typically, I think the S&P is somewhere around 40%. Usually hit below that. In mid-cap, you're dealing with a lot of companies that have a more nascent presence. They may be growing from 10 to 20% or 20 to 30% of their businesses. They really enter markets. And then on the flip side, I think in a downside scenario, you have a lot more balance sheet strength in the mid-cap space. These are generally proven companies. They're profitable. They've been in operation long enough to build cash on the balance sheet. And I like that aspect in a uncertain economic environment when we don't know exactly when we're going to get back to 2019 levels of economic growth.
So what's a name or two that is kind of the poster child for the methodology that's a real example of the kind of thing you like right now?
Sure. I'll lead off with TripAdvisor. I think that this is a great opportunity for your listeners at the prices that it trades at, and I'll walk it through our methodology. First off, it fits the quality bucket. It has a sustainable competitive advantage as the top website for travel-related user reviews that's been built over two decades of operation. There is some intensity to the competition, with Google always trying to encroach on TripAdvisor's business of referral advertising fees, and also the online travel agents Expedia and Priceline. They want to drive more direct business. But I think at the end of the day, travelers want to research and be informed about the decisions they make, and TripAdvisor holds a top spot in the minds of travelers that's been developed over decades. Secondly, it checks the secular growth bucket. Online travel bookings have continued to take share from offline. We've seen penetration rates in air and hotel. They're above 50%. Really, the core business of TripAdvisor is hotel booking. It's slightly more mature since it has crossed the 50% penetration threshold, but I think that there's still share to take from offline bookings, and I see that as a mid to high single digit growth potential. There'll be some puts and takes, and in the past couple of years, they've had some headwinds from Google changing their search algorithm. They certainly rely on traffic from Google, and when Google makes changes or prioritizes their own websites, that can hit TripAdvisor. And also the online travel agents Expedia and Priceline are big customers of TripAdvisor's, they change from time to time their return characteristics that they're willing to pay for advertising rates. But those are usually one-time events, and they don't happen every single year. So they've anniversaried that this year, and now we have the COVID scare that's definitely hurt travel, and it's driven down the stock price. But I think at the end of the day, people still want to travel. I think that it will get back to normalized levels exiting 2021 or 2022 as people get more comfortable leaving their home. The really interesting part of their business is the experiences business, and this has grown to about one-third of the business, and it's grown at a 30% clip the last 2 years. And in the experiences business, TripAdvisor is transitioning from being an advertising referral business to being a primary booking agent. And you can imagine this as a whitewater rafting in Colorado that you can book through TripAdvisor's website as you look through their reviews and find a convenient excursion for you and your family.
Let's stop that there because we have to get to some picks that my audience is particularly interested in.
Wait, hold it.
You got to know when to hold them.
Or fold it.
Know when to fold them.
It's hold it or fold it time with my guest, Chris Carter, portfolio manager for Buffalo Midcap. BUFMX is the ticker symbol, buffalofunds.com, the website for more information, the Twitter handle, at Buffalo Funds. You know how Hold It or Fold It works. We're a little late getting here, so we're just going to jump right in. And we've got Chris Carter here, and we have, well, it's not necessarily the family business, but Rick in York, Pennsylvania does want to know about Carter's Incorporated. That's CRI.
I say buy. This is a defensive retailer that's benefiting from a transition to e-commerce, which is leading to margin improvement. It's not necessarily the fastest grower, but when the baby needs clothes, you got to buy it.
Come on, let's buy.
So that's a buy on Carter's Inc., ticker symbol CRI. Now, you mentioned TripAdvisor, and of course, that's one type of experience company. Richard in Chula Vista, California wants to know about Yelp, which is ticker symbol Yelp, which is a very different kind of experience company.
I really like Yelp shares here. I would rate it a buy and would definitely recommend it. It is very similar to TripAdvisor. They're a little earlier in their transition to being a primary booking, but they do have a booking of local services and restaurant reservations. And I think that the COVID sell-off has led to an attractive entry point.
In other words,
it's hit rock bottom. Come on, let's buy.
That's a buy on Yelp. Ticker symbol YELP. Our next two requests come from Kip in Lawrenceville, Georgia. I'm not sure any of his requests have actually made it into the show before, but the first is for CTXS. That's Citrix Systems.
I would sell Citrix. It's had a pretty significant rally on the work from home tailwind from COVID. I think the shares have gotten a little bit expensive, and I would favor a competitive company, F5 Networks, over Citrix, where you get a little better valuation and a little better growth outlook, in my opinion, in the next 2 or 3 years.
So this is one of those cases where it's done what you wanted it to do, and it's now no longer the stock that you wanted to be. You were talking about quality growth at a reasonable price. We've now lost the end of that, and maybe we've lost some of the growth, right?
Yeah, I think that the risk-reward here is just not where I'd want it to be. I think at $100, $110, it was a good risk-reward, but it's trading around $140. I think it's a little skimpy on the upside.
It's topped out. I say we sell now.
So that's a fold on Citrix Systems, CTXS. But if you were listening carefully, you did hear in there that he would instead be looking to buy something like F5 Networks, ticker FFIV.
He either gets on board or he gets left behind.
Kip's other request, Dexcom. That's DXCM.
Well, this is another sell. This really checks the quality growth bucket. They have an innovative technology for continuous glucose monitor, but valuation just can't get there. It's over 20 times forward sales and nearly 200 times earnings. I'll wait for some bumps to come up along the road for a better buying opportunity on Dexcom. Definitely on the watch list, but not something that I would entertain buying here.
It's good company, but bad stock, at least at the current price.
Put that one on the psycho list.
That's a fold on Dexcom, DXCM. And, Well, Kip in Warrensville, Georgia had his first two requests, so they both were sells. Mike in Redwood City, California sends us a bunch of requests that he's had on the show in the past. Right now, he's going to get to hear about Splunk Incorporated, SPLK.
I would be a buyer of Splunk, but I would leave myself a little bit of room to build the position. It's had a run off of its lows of about 80%. It's a leading infrastructure software company. I definitely think it meets the quality growth, and it's helping companies transition to cloud environment and managing that environment securely. But it is also transitioning to subscription software from a perpetual license, and this has led to some bumps in recent quarters. So I would maybe build a half position and look for a sell-off to add and make it a full position.
So it's a qualified buy, but a buy that hopefully you can ride out over the long term.
I'm in this for the long haul.
On Splunk, S-P-L-K. And if you miss the qualifications in that buy, rewind and listen to it again before you actually act on it. It's very specific there in terms of why Splunk is a buy, but how you want to do it. Chris, this has been great. Thank you so much for joining me. Stay safe and come back and see us again sometime.
I look forward to it, Chuck. Thank you.
That's Chris Carter, everybody, manager of the Buffalo Midcap Fund, BUFMX, the ticker symbol. Go to buffalofunds.com and on Twitter at Buffalo Funds to get more information. We'll be back to wrap up today's show, tell you about a few more guests we've added to our calendar before we send you home right after this message.